Welcome to the Vineyard Church of Greater Portland podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by our guest speaker. For more podcasts and other resources, please visit www.vineyardportland.org.
Today, what I'm going to bring, as you can see, is a word on seeking and finding. This is something that the Lord had put on my heart a while ago, and when Mario asked me to speak, I said, well, I have to know that I have something to bring to the church, a word for the church. And the Lord and I fought it out that night, and I said, uncle. So, seeking and finding. So let's look at the first verse as way of introduction. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, come, follow me, from John 14:3. On Jesus' travels from town to town, he was not only teaching, but he was also inviting people to follow him. This is the invitation that most of us here have heard and accepted. And I would add, if you have not accepted Jesus' invitation to follow him, today would be a great day to do that. But we have made that decision to follow Jesus at some point in the past, and that began the journey as a disciple of Jesus. In the fall trimester of life groups, we are all looking in our groups at issues surrounding the topic of discipleship, being a follower of Jesus. So today, we're just going to unpack that a little bit, to look at the path, what the pursuit of that path is, and then our motivation for our journey with Jesus. So the statement, I am a Christian, said and done, doesn't really tell the whole story. You may have noticed that people have very differing opinions when you say the word Christian. Some have great expectations. You should be perfect then if you say you're a Christian. they know how you should live, right? Right. And some have a very negative response to it because what they've seen has been very disappointing, maybe, or very negative, and on some levels, just plain crazy. So that statement, I am a Christian, doesn't accurately reflect the life that we lead or this ongoing path of spiritual growth. Following Jesus, just this act of being a disciple, isn't a static place we arrive at. I'll go to this life group, Barb's. Is she here? I don't know. And I'll finally get this discipleship thing all wrapped up, right? No. Discipleship is being a follower of Jesus in belief, that we believe the things he believes. In practice, we live our lives the way Jesus did live his life, and with intentionality. And that's the main thing. And Chad prayed into that when we began. The truth is that we experience discipleship, being a follower, as a journey with different sights to see, with different seasons to learn, grow, sometimes rest and recover. God put us on a 10-year rest and recovery mission at one time, and then begin again. Being a follower of Jesus suggests intentional movement, including the necessary motivation to pursue this life that we're called to. And we'll talk about that a bit. It can be a good and healthy thing on occasion to think back on our own individual journeys, to remember our own seeking, remembering our milestones and the highs and lows of the different aspects of our life, the physical, family, social, spiritual life, seeing how all things do work together for good, as promised in Romans 8:28, even if it was not our first choice, or maybe what happens really wasn't even on our list. Sometimes reflection can produce a sigh of relief as we consider how God brought us through some very tough times. Sometimes, in retrospect, it seems like a setup, like preaching, how things mysteriously work together for those who love God and are called to his purpose. And the next verse, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. That's our goal. Being a disciple began with God's foreknowledge. Being predestined to be conformed to Jesus' image, that's part of the path. Called, justified, and glorified. That's an amazing journey. The promise here is only for those who take the trek, who go on this journey. So accept the invitation to be a follower of Jesus and be a consistent follower of Jesus. There are some of us here for whom a reflective journey to the past isn't that far. They're younger. For others, we could get lost for days wandering these seasons and scenes, the people, the places we've been, the places of spiritual dryness, and places of refreshing, and the new life. Reflection can give us a fresh perspective on events and outcomes and can help us chart the way forward, no matter how many years that is. I heard a quote recently that gave me permission and peace to look back at things with a now perspective. It went something like this, not a direct quote. If you are not embarrassed by some of the things in your past, then you haven't matured yet. I guess I've matured a bit because there is much in my past that I can be embarrassed about. But honestly, probably like anyone else, those are some of the times that I really learned the most. And that's why we remember those lessons, is so that we don't repeat them. Have you ever wondered what motivates people to walk the Appalachian Trail? Has anyone here ever walked the Appalachian, parts of it or anything? Wow. I haven't either. It's not even on my bucket list. Truthful. I've often wondered that very question when hearing the stories of those who have conquered it or even attempted it. It sounds really hard. That's why it's not on my bucket list. The ones that I've heard tell their story often are as much looking for something as they want something to happen internally. As much as they want to see the countryside and experience different things, but there's something inside, seeking something that they can't get by safely staying home. To even have accepted Jesus' invitation to follow him, there had to be a time of a felt need, a time of seeking. Seeking something outside of your own self. Perhaps it was just a subconscious looking for something, not knowing what exactly. Maybe even just an indescribable itch in your heart knower. That's the heart brain, as opposed to the brain knower or your head brain. I took anatomy in nursing school. It's very technical stuff. Don't expect you to understand it all, but just trust me. You have a heart knower, which is your heart brain, and you have a head knower, which is your head brain. Okay? Good. No charge. This path that the heart brain sets us on is actually our destination. The destination is not a distant mountaintop. It's the path. There really is no place of arrival on this side of eternity. And if we think we've arrived, we got to get up and get going. So this trek, this adventure of discipleship that we pursue could and should be very exciting. Now I'm going to tell you about a hobby that Bruce and I have that is a trek. We do geocaching. How many people here are geocachers? Is there anybody? Oh. How many know about geocaching? Oh yeah, plenty of you. Well, for those of you who don't, you use an app on your phone with GPS coordinates, and we search for swag. Swag stands for stuff we all get. I didn't make it up. Anyway. So what you're finding are boxes or containers that contain items, the swag, or it may have just a logbook that you sign. And other cachers set these things up. I have set up two up in our town. So the swag can vary from little toys of no real value, or it can be just a sign, a slip of paper. The finds, are then logged onto the app, or you use your computer, and a little smiley face pops up, and you're on to the next cache. So this hobby has led us to trails we never knew about, even in our own town, where we've lived for over 30 years. Once we got the app and we pour it up, we go, oh, look at that, there's a trail up there on the old dump road. When we travel for vacations or even doing errands around, then we'll say, oh, let's try to pick up a few caches today. And so we take our toys that we're going to swap, if anybody's put anything in there, and it gets us out. It's not the Appalachian Trail, but we're out and about. So sometimes these trails that we find, and they're not always on trails, sometimes they're right in the middle of town or whatever, but it has involved serious climbing, bushwhacking, that's not fun, walking in circles if the trees are really thick, and sometimes we have to walk away and then walk back to get an accurate reading because the tree cover keeps you from getting good reception on your phone. So that's what happened when we went hiking. That kind of sounds like life, doesn't it? Sometimes you got to walk away and then walk back and take a fresh look. All right, I know what's around here somewhere. We wander around the woods like crazy people. Later on, it's fun to look at the finds that you have on the geocaching map when you bring it up, and you got all these little smiley faces where, you know, where you've been. I have a treasure chest full of items that we found. I thought about bringing it, but I didn't want somebody to take them. I'm very protective. The grandchildren aren't allowed to play with them. No. I know, it's weird, isn't it? Many of the items I remember, when I look at them, I remember where we were and what the occasion was. And some are just reminders of times we spent together walking or traveling. It's the search, the discovery of new places, and the time together that make it all memorable. It's the journey. Wherever Jesus went during his public ministry, the crowds, large and small, would gather. They were looking for something, and he was looking for them. That's exciting. And the next verse is, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. So word of the miracles of Jesus spread on ahead of him, and at times the crowds around him numbered in the thousands. Can you imagine having heard rumors of the miracles that took place? The blind eyes opened, deaf could hear, the dead were raised, leprosy cured, things unheard of up to this point. And the people came. Thousands of them at times, the disciples write about, in every town. What were they looking for, and what were they seeking? Some, of course, came for healing. The woman with the issue of blood was not the only one who was healed by touching the hem of Jesus' garment. People pressed around him everywhere and were healed. Others probably came out of curiosity. Imagine the conversations when word spread that Jesus was coming into town. Something like, not much on TV this weekend, probably just the World Series, and I don't know much about baseball. Maybe we'll go see what Jesus is up to. I heard he was in town, because the word spread. Some only came to criticize, to judge, to catch Jesus violating a rule or two. After the feeding of the 5,000, many were probably hoping for free food. There was no grocery store on their way home if they went to find him. Later on, Jesus fed another 4,000 people. These numbers do not include the women and children accompanying them. There could have been as many as 10,000 there that they fed. That is one big picnic. You would want to clean up afterwards. Many certainly came for deliverance from the oppression of demons, from the religion of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and from the oppressive governments in power at the time. Perhaps here was the promised Messiah and things were going to be different. Whatever their motivation, they were seekers. The question is, were they satisfied with what they found? Some probably were satisfied with lunch, and their curiosity about Jesus was satisfied for the moment, and they went on their way. Sadly, they missed the bread of life, Jesus himself. The next verse, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst." And they missed it. For others, their lives were never the same again, physically or spiritually. Answering the call to follow me changes everything, even today. We know that not everyone heard what they wanted to hear. Jesus' teachings certainly riled up the religious elite. The rich young ruler went away sad. He thought he had tied up a trip to paradise in a bow. "What do I lack?" he said, after he'd gone through that whole list of his attributes, spiritual. For this young leader to follow Jesus, who knew his heart, he would have to lose something he held most dear, his possessions. His heart issue was really love. And the next verse is, "If I give all I possess to the poor and give my body to hardship that I may boast but have not love, I gain nothing." I can imagine the conversations as the people made their way home after hearing Jesus teach. Someone really should write all this stuff down so we can be reminded of what he's taught. That would be me. I like to take notes. Jesus taught in parables, stories based on the world that they knew and understood. This was not what they were accustomed to from the religious leaders. He spoke of a hidden treasure, the pearl of great price, the lost coin. It was to encourage and answer their seeking. He was trying to stir their hunger to follow him, to help.